Dietrich too wondered that so selfish and prideful a woman had persisted in her charity.
Rash judgment is a sin, Lawrence.
Besides, Max the Schweitzer goes often with us.
The smith shrugged. Two men in the woods with his wife will hardly reassure the miller. I've only said what I've heard. I know... He paused and turned the tankard over in his hand. It was as if his soul had retreated from the two windows in his face. The dregs of the beer dribbled out onto the dirt unseen. I know the sort of man you are, so I believe you.
You could try believing with greater certitude, Dietrich said sharply, so that Lawrence turned a startled face on him, then hurried off on his errand. The smith was a gentleman, surprisingly so given his strength, but he was a woman for gossip. Felix and Ilse came to give him a pair of hens for the blessing of the house. Dietrich would have refused them, yet winter would be coming, and even priests must eat. The eggs would be appreciated, and later the stew. In return, Dietrich reached into his scrip and pulled out the wooden doll and gave it to their little girl. He had polished it to remove the scorches and had replaced the charred arms and legs with fresh sticks he had found. The hair he had cut from his own head. But Maria dropped the doll into the dirt and cried, "That is Nana! That is Nana!" And she ran inside the rebuilt cottage, leaving Dietrich crouching in the dust. Sighing, he replaced the doll into his scrip. It wasn't the doll, he thought. The doll was only a construction of sticks and rags. There was nothing precious about such things. He stood and picked up the wooden cage with the clucking chickens.
"Come now, sister hens," he said. "I know a rooster who's anxious to meet you."
Something repaired, he thought as he returned to the parsonage, is never quite what it was before. Whatever other parts were replaced, the memories could never be.
2 years before his death, while praying fervently on Mount Alvernia, St. Francis of Assisi received on his body an impression of the sacred wounds of Christ. 3/4 of a century later, Pope Benedict XI, a sickly, scholarly, peace-loving man, uneasy outside the company of his Dominican order, established the feast as a token of goodwill to the rival order. So although Hildegard of Bingen was the saint for that day, Dietrich read the Mass Mihi Otem to honor Francis and as a brotherly gesture toward his house guest. This may have disappointed Theresia, for the Abbess Hildegard, author of a well-known treatise on medicines, was a special favorite of hers, but if so, she made no protest. The Mass had barely concluded when Joaquin threw himself face down on the freshly washed flagstones before the altar. Dietrich, putting the vessels away, thought the display unseemly. He slammed the storage cabinet and made a show of stepping around the prostrate monk as he crossed the sanctuary. "In Galatians today," he said, "Paul told us that it matters not whether we bear visible marks so long as we become a new man." Joachim's prayers cut off abruptly. After a moment, the man rose to his knees, crossed himself, and turned around. "Is that what you think?" In Galatia, those Jews who had not accepted Christ criticized those who had, because the Galatian pagans, who had also been saved, did not follow the law of Moses. So the Jewish Christians urged the Galatian Christians to become circumcised, hoping to use that outward sign to mollify their accusers. But the Galatians had a horror of bodily mutilation, so much turmoil resulted. Paul wrote to remind everyone that outward signs no longer mattered. Joaquin pressed his lips together, and Dietrich thought he would launch some retort. But after a moment he rose to his feet and straightened his robe.
"I wasn't praying for that."
"What then?"
"For you."
"Me?"
"Yes. You are a goodly man, I think. But you are a cold one. You would rather think about the good than do it. And you find it more congenial to debate angels and pinheads than to live the true life of poverty of the companions of the Lord, which you would know if you thought about what Paul meant in his letter."
"Are you so holy, then," Dietrich said with some heat,
"that men's hearts do not hold always what their lips proclaim? I am heartily aware,
ja, from childhood.
Many a whited sepulchre proclaims Jesus with his tongue and crucifies him with hands and body. But in the new age, The Holy Spirit will guide the new man to perfect himself in love and spirit.
Ja, doch, said Dietrich. The new age. Was it Charles of Anjou or Pedro of Aragon who was to have started it? I've forgotten.
The new age had been prophesied by another Joachim, he of Flora.
Paris had reckoned him a fraud and a dabbler in the future, for his followers had prophesied that the new age would begin in 1260, then in 1300, as political winds in the Two Sicilies shifted. Flora's teaching that St. Francis had been a reincarnation of Christ himself struck Dietrich as both impious and logically flawed.
The man of the flesh persecutes those born of the spirit, Joachim quoted.
Oh, we have many enemies. The Pope, the Emperor, the Dominicans. I should think popes and emperors enemies enough without taking on the Dominicans.
Joachim threw his head back. Mock on.
The visible church, so corrupted by Peter with Jewish falsifications, has always persecuted the pure church of the Spirit. But Peter fades, and beloved John appears. Death stalks the land. Martyrs burn. The world of fathers will be replaced by a world of brothers. Already the Pope is overthrown, and emperors rule in name alone.
Which still leaves the Dominicans to deal with, Dietrich said dryly.
Joachim lowered his arms. Words hang like a veil before your understanding. You subordinate spirit to nature, and God himself to reason, and so cannot see. God is not being, but above being. He is in all places at all times, in times and places we cannot know, save by looking within ourselves. He is all things because he combines all perfections in a way past all understanding. But when we see past the limitations of such creaturely perfections as life and wisdom, that which remains is God.
Which does not seem beyond understanding at all, and reduces God to a mere residuum. You preach Platonism warmed over like yesterday's porridge.
The young man's face closed. I am a sinful man. But if I pray that God will forgive my sins, is it so terrible that I include yours, too?
He bent and rose again with a sprig of hazel in his fingers that had fallen from Theresia's herb basket. The two parted with no further words.
Dietrich always found his meetings with the Krenken unnerving.
It is the fixity of their features, he had told Manfred. They lack the capacity for smiles or frowns,
let alone expressions more subtle. Nor are they given to much display or gesture, and that bestows on them a menacing mien. They seem like statues come to life. That had been a special terror of his from boyhood. He remembered sitting beside his mother in the cathedral church at Köln, staring at the statues in their niches, and he remembered how the flickering candlelight made them seem to move. He had thought that if he stared at them too long, they would become angry and step down from their niches and come for him.
Dietrich had concluded that it was not the Heinzelmanken that spoke, but the Kratzer, who spoke through him. And he had learned the difficult trick of perceiving the words of the talking head as coming from the giant grasshopper instead. Although whether boxes or grasshoppers spoke was, in either case, wonderful. He said as much to the Kratzer, who explained that the box remembered words as numbers.
A number may be expressed as a word, Dietrich responded. We have the word eins to signify the number one.
But how can a word be expressed as a number?
Ah, you mean a code.
Merchants and imperial agents use such methods to keep their messages secret.
The Kratzer leaned forward. You have this species of knowledge?
The signs we use to signify beings and relations are arbitrary. The French and the Italians use different word signs than we do, for example. So, to assign a number is not, in principle, different.
Yet how does the Heinzelmanken... Ah, I see. He performs an aljabar of some sort on the code.
Then he had to explain what aljabar was, and then who the Saracens were.
So,
the Kratzer said finally. But these numbers use only two signs, null and one. What a poor sort of number. There gives often more than one of a species.
The Kratzer rasped his forearms.
Attend. The essence that flows. Fluid. Many thank. The fluid that drives the talking head flows through innumerable small mill races. One tells the Heinzenmachen to open a sluice gate so the fluid may run down a particular race. Null tells him to leave the gate closed.